and then I hurt. And the ceasefire, as you know, was announced on August 31st, 1994.
I'd been put on standby the day before. We actually thought it was going to come on August 30th. I remember that day pacing the BBC newsroom up and down, waiting for the phone to ring. Went home, no call, not knowing why and what had happened. It later emerged that August the 30th had been that continuing wrangle about getting Joe Cahill a visa to go to the States, and that was part of the delay. But I knew that on August 31st, having the statement not having come the day before, that that we were very close to an announcement. Elle, who signed for us, Val was 8 and a bit months pregnant at the time, and she woke up on the morning of August 31st saying to me, "I think the baby's come." And I remember thinking into myself, not the day. But having enough sense not to say it out loud. But by 8 o'clock, we knew it was a false alarm. I remember being in a taxi going to the BBC just before 9 o'clock that morning. My phone going when I was in the taxi, and I recognised the voice. I asked the driver would he stop, and I stepped out of the car onto the footpath. And all he said to me was, "Same place as Saturday, 11 o'clock, and bring Emma. Your man."
That's not true. I called Emma.
What I've told you is true. I thought about not bringing him, if truth be told. But, so I think sometime around 10:30, 20 to 11 that morning, Emma and I travelled into West Belfast to a coffee shop inside the Kennedy Centre. There was a woman waiting for us. We obviously knew who it was. She had a tiny piece of paper, a com, with the IRA statement on it. She read the first couple of sentences, that from midnight that night there would be a complete cessation of military operations, that all IRA units had been instructed accordingly. And I remember both Eamon and I asking her at the time would she stop and allow us to use flash that night. She said, "No, my instructions to read the whole statement." And as some people in this room will know, the IRA doesn't say in two sentences what you can say in two chapters. So the statement seemed to go on forever. But, you know, I can remember then stepping out of the supermarket into the car park. I had a mobile phone with me that was like a car battery. You know, huge bloody thing with something sitting on top of it. Calling the BBC, Eamon was with me. I knew that Charlie in Dublin, with Shane Harrison in Dublin, were being met as well. And sometime in around 11 o'clock that morning, the story began to break that the IRA had indeed announced this complete cessation of military operations. The security forces in the build-up believed the IRA would have announced something that was time-limited, either a short number of weeks or a short number of months. And I think they were completely thrown by the fact that it was a complete cessation of military operations. I'll just say one thing to finish. An hour before I went to meet the IRA that night, I was met by a representative of the Loyalist leadership. He gave me the reaction to the IRA statement before the IRA announced it. And basically in their statement, they were calling on Molyneux and Paisley to go to Downing Street to meet Major and to come back and report to the people what deal had been done to secure the IRA ceasefire. Now, it took me a long time to find out how the Loyalists could have known before the statement was announced. But a year later, I was in a ceasefire documentary for the BBC 1 year on, and I did an interview with Albert Reynolds, who was Taoiseach at the time. And he started to explain the row over Joe Cahill's visa, why the Yanks were opposed to giving it. He was saying that the Yanks were saying, "Well, have you read this man's file? You know, and how can we grant this visa not knowing what is coming?" And I think Father Alec Reid was then sent to Dublin to give Reynolds an outline of what the IRA statement would be. And Reynolds said that he called three people. He called the President of the United States, he called John Major, and he called the Reverend Roy Major. Presbyterian minister who had been in contact with the loyalists, and McGee told the loyalists the ceasefire was coming the next morning, and that's how they were then able to prepare their response before the statement came out.